Blog Talk Radio.
Multiplication, no longer vision, no subtraction.
than on any other type of mathematics. Just trust in Yahweh's word and what he say will happen.
It's the delight of my soul, the only thing that controls. This is the sweetest of roll that I ate in this hole. You know it's the Almighty, the one who's always right. Be you see the light in the sky, you know it's day. And then it's night when the lesser light shines. It's the most sublime, the most profound, the illest sound. Never heard round this town, around this globe. It be the Torah of Yahweh Elohim. Do you understand the things that I speak in these days of the last? It come past when these people about to fall off the earth like grass with this, like the flower fades. You know how it is these days, people getting played, being so lies of age. But my words, they spray, proclaim the most high name. And you know how it is, we ain't playing no games. Now you give me this word, so it beats the fire. And y'all be like wood burned up. Tell me that you could ever test black, never that.
Shalom. First and foremost, give it all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel,
to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein, is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has blessed us to come before you another day, another week, even another year, bringing to you nothing but the truth. My name is Moray Yeshaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All I'm going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, so this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael. Yah is our King. He's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and he is our only savior, and not just of Israel, but he's the savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for allowing us to come before you with his great, holy, and exalted words. Today we will be dealing with how to represent Yahweh's name. Since we are in the second year, and since today is April the 2nd, it seemed very befitting that we would discuss Yahweh's name And you're going to hear a lot of this because the whole year is dedicated to his name in some way, shape, or form. And when you read the various scriptures concerning the name of the Most High and the very things the Almighty would do concerning his name, you will see that these things came at certain specific, fixed, appointed times that Yahweh ordained, that Yahweh ordered. The order of two. Whether it's the second day when Yahweh made the heavens, or rather, it's the second month when he opened up the windows of heaven and rain came down and flooded the whole earth during the time of Noah. And when did Yahweh say this was done? This was done in the second month, the 17th day of the month. Because the second represents the name of the Most High, represents his throne. And it represents the very thing that Yahweh established in earth. The Creator lets us know that every matter be established by two or more witnesses. So here it is. We end the second year. So let's discuss how one can represent Yahweh's name. Not everyone is not going to be interested in this because they have no interest in representing the Most High. But for those who desire to represent the Most High, this desire of yours is very good. And I'm going to show you why it is very good. But many of you all might be listening to me for the very first time. And I want you to see how I know that the second represents Yahweh's name. That is not the only thing. That's not the only thing it represents, but that's the main thing. But for example, so you can see for yourself, one of the greatest things that was done and built on the earth, you'll read about it in the book of 1 Kings, the 6th chapter. And watch what it says. And you will notice that the Almighty has fixed times, certain times, appointed times, done by date. And why would the Creator put a date to the things that he would do? Well, the reason why he would do this is because he wanted you to remember. He wanted you to discuss and proclaim his great works, because his works are great wonders. And so if you're interested in the works of the Most High, then you also will begin to learn how wonderful he is. And watch this wonderful thing that Yahweh would establish in earth. And it says in the book of 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, in the first verse. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt. In the 4th year, Solomon's reign over Israel. And watch the month. In the month Ziph, which is the 2nd month that he began to build the house of Yah. So we notice that when Solomon began to build and lay the foundations of Yahweh's house, he started this in the 2nd month. And when in the 2nd month? Watch this in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter. And why the 2nd month? Well, we should know that the house that Solomon built, it was built to Yahweh's name. And look what it says in 2 Chronicles, the 3rd chapter. The 1st and the 2nd verse. Then Solomon began to build the house of Yah at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where Yahweh appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build in the 2nd day of the 2nd month, in the 4th year of his reign. And so not only he began to build it in the 2nd day, but he began to build the house of Yah in the 2nd month. And why? Because this house, this great house, that there was no other house like this on earth, represented Yahweh's name. So if you got a house that represents his name, you have a king that represents his name, then what do you think we should be learning to do? Well, we should be learning how to represent Yahweh's name. But first you have to learn, first you have to know time and purpose and how Yahweh was establishing specific time that he wanted your whole attention on his name. Watch this. In the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter. In the scriptures, there was only one thing that I read that was above the name of the Most High. Everything else is below his name. But there was only one thing above it. And that thing is his word. And you might ask yourself, why is his word above his name? Because Yahweh know it's totally impossible for anyone to represent his name if they don't know his word. Therefore, he wanted you to know his word, that his name might be established in the earth. And that's what his great name do. it establishes things. And I'm going to show you what I mean. But first, I got to show you so you can see. The time that represent that is purpose for his name. The scripture says to every time there is a purpose. Well, what is the purpose of the time of the second? Whether it's the second year, the second day, the second month, the second born, the second season, what is its purpose? Well, the purpose is establishing Yahweh's name. Look what he said in Genesis, the fourth chapter, verse 25 and 26. Adam knew his wife again. And she bare a son and called his name Seth. Elohim said, she had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began man to call upon the name of Yah. And when is then? When did men begin to call upon the name of Yah? Well, in the time of Enos. And who was Enos? Well, Enos was a son of Seth. And he also was the second generation after Adam. For Adam had a son, and his name was Seth. And that was the first generation. And then he had another son, and his name was Enos. Seth had a son, his name was Enos, and this was the second generation. After Adam. And what did they do in this generation? Well, men began to call upon the name of Yah. Well, what did they do before then? Well, first of all, as I stated before, they must learn his words. Because how can you call upon the name of Yah? How can you represent Yah and you don't know his words? Furthermore, in the book of Exodus, the 40th chapter, just giving you the examples so you can see for yourself why it's so important to know time. And what time are we in? We in the second. The second what? The second day. What you think the M-O-N-D-A-Y is? Which they call Monday. Well, that's the second day of the week. We also are in the second year. And last week we brought to you how one determined their years. But in the book of Exodus 40, this is what it says in the 17th verse. And it came to pass. In the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And what is the tabernacle? Well, the tabernacle is the sanctuary. The sanctuary is where Yahweh will come down and meet with Moses. So what do you think that represents? Well, Yahweh's name. How do I know that? Because this tabernacle wasn't even finished. It wasn't even reared up until the second year. And further, what it says concerning, and let me show you what happened, since this is the first time this tabernacle was reared up. The 34th verse. It says, then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of Yah filled the tabernacle. And Moshe was not able to enter the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of Yah filled the tabernacle. So he wasn't even able to go in. And when the cloud was taken out from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went on with all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of Yah was upon the tabernacle by day, the fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So in other words, Yahweh, when he wanted the people to stay put, he put a cloud that he himself was in by day, and a fire that he showed himself in by night. And as long as this cloud stayed down, the people did not journey. They stayed put. But when the cloud was taken up, then the people journeyed. And what was Yah teaching the people? Because he did this all through the wilderness, throughout all their journeys. And what was Yahweh teaching the people? Well, he was teaching the people the very first step of representing his name. And that is to follow him. How are you going to represent Yahweh's name and you don't even follow Yahweh? You don't even follow him. And this is what the people must learn to do. How to follow Yah. And there are certain wisdom that Yahweh will give us that we might learn to follow him, that we might represent his name. One of those things is in the book of Psalm 51. What are we discussing? Well, we're discussing how one represents Yah's name, since the name of Yah seemed to be after the order two. What that means, order two? I never heard the order two. Well, that's just because you hadn't, the Almighty hadn't opened your eyes. Because if you had seen it, you would know that in the second month, the very wonders that Yahweh did in the earth to represent his name. You will see in the second year what Yahweh did to represent his name. You will see what Yahweh did at the second born when it came to the 12 tribes of Israel. What king do you think represented his name? Well, the greatest king that is known is King David. And how did he represent his name? Well, he was the second king. Watch this in the book of Psalm 51. And this is what it says in the sixth verse. It says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And so here the Creator is letting us know his desires. And why? Because it is totally impossible to represent Yahweh's name and you don't know his desires. His desires is essential. It is a prerequisite. It is a must. In order for you to represent his name, you must desire truth in the inward parts. Yahweh desires truth in the inward parts. And if you desire what Yahweh desires, and this seemed to be our problem as a people and as a nation, we still yet have not come to the undeniable truth that Yahweh, his, and what is Yahweh desires? His thoughts. What is Yahweh desires? His ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And so now what we have to do is concern ourselves with his thoughts and his ways and forsake our thoughts and our ways. So Yahweh desires truth in the inward part. That's his desire. And not only desire that, watch the 16th and 17th verse. If thou desires not, no, for thou desires not sacrifice. That's what I give it. Everybody talking about sacrifice, and Yahweh don't even desire that anyway. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. What Yahweh, you don't have no delight in you bringing some bulls and sheep and goats and lambs and all this stuff to him. But if you want to fulfill his desire, this is the thing that he desires. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O Elohim, thou will not despise. See, Yahweh, he want your spirit broken. He want your heart contrite and broken. In other words, he wants you to be humble. Because if you're humble, then you fulfill his desire. Then you walk with him. And then you can represent his name. Because you are fulfilling his desire. And this is, Yahweh don't want nothing hard from us. Everything Yahweh wants is something real simple and manageable and something we can do. Like, for example, in the book of Psalm 37. Not only want truth in the inward parts, not only he want a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, but this is what the Creator said in the book of Psalm 37. If you desire to represent his name. And I'm going to show you why that's essential that you desire it. So it says in the book of Psalm 37, first verse, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquities, for they shall soon be cut off, cut down like the grass, wither as the green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And watch the fourth verse. Delight thyself also in Yahweh, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto Yahweh. Trust also in him, and he shall get the pass. This is what we want. We want to commit our way. We want to trust him if we want the things that we desire. He said, if we delight ourselves in Yah, he shall give us the desire of our hearts. And how do you delight yourself in Yahweh? Well, you delight yourself in Yahweh by doing the things that he desired you to do. Since he desired truth in the inward parts, then that's what you want to have. Since he desired a broken and contrite heart, a broken spirit, which is merely and simply humility, that's what you want to do. And since he desires for you to delight yourself in him, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. And here it is today. A man will get married unto a wife and become a husband. And according to the scriptures, a wife desires supposed to be to her husband. Although many women today who is married, a lot of times their desires is not to their husband, it's to themselves. All they want to know is how you gonna do for them, what you got for them. Why ain't you thinking about them? Why you looking at her? Why you doing that for them? It's all about her and her desires. But her desires supposed to be to her husband. And it's understandable why women desires are not to their husbands, because the men desires nor the women, neither of their desires are to Yahweh. For Yahweh himself said he is a husband unto Israel. Yahweh is a husband, then who's fulfilling his desires? The husband wants you to fulfill his desires. And since Yahweh is a husband, how will one fulfill his? Well, by having truth in the inward parts. With a broken and contrite heart, with a broken spirit, by delighting yourself in Yahweh, in committing your works unto him. For Yahweh have desires also. And watch what it says. In the book of Hosea, the 6th chapter. And what are we discussing? How to represent Yahweh's name. How can you represent his name without knowing his word? And if you know his word, then when will you decide to establish his name in your goings? You are the work of Yah. So when the tabernacle and the temple was built and erected, it represented his name. The earth, the heavens, represent his name. Everything in the earth represents his name. So when will you represent his name? Watch what it says in the book of Hosea, the 6th chapter. In the 6th verse. And this is what it says. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. Yeah, this is Yahweh's desire. He desires mercy and not sacrifice. Yahweh desires knowledge of him more than burnt offerings. So we spending our time getting knowledge and skills, doing everything else. Carpentry, how to grow food, how to shoot guns, how to do martial arts, just skill and know how to cook, how to sew, how to raise children. But when will you stop and desire the knowledge of Elohim, since it is he and he alone that teach the hands everything they will do? For where do you think skill, knowledge, and wisdom come from? Well, it comes from Yahweh. And you will skip past Yahweh and go to other forms of knowledge instead of the knowledge of him. That's why a lot of people, when they talk inadvertently, they will say things such as, they would talk about the Mother Earth. Well, what you talking about the Mother Earth for? Man, the Mother Earth, it's this and it's that and it's got this and... Well, I don't know this Mother Earth. It is Yahweh who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. And Yahweh is not a mother at all. He's a father. He's an Elohim. He's a creator. He's a man of war. And we want to talk about everything else but him. And that's because our desires are not his desires. He desires mercy. And he desire the knowledge of Elohim. And of course, there's other things he desire. As a matter of fact, look what the Creator lets us know in the book of Zephaniah, the 2nd chapter. And I love this scripture because this scripture is an indictment on all those that will forsake it. And watch what it says. Zephaniah 2 And like I said, what do two represent? Well, represent his name. And so if it represents his name, the very thing that you would do to fulfill his desires will represent his name. Watch what it says in the book of Zephaniah, the second chapter, the very first verse. It says, gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desire. See how many, see what the Creator desired for us to do? Gather yourselves together. And even though Yahweh said this, for some strange reason, there's a lot of people, a lot of Israelites, a lot of congregations, this is exactly what they don't want to do. As a matter of fact, they'll come up with every excuse not to do it. And there's only one reason why. Because they have decided and chosen not to fulfill Yahweh's desire. And what is that? To gather yourselves together. And then he said, O nation not desired. In other words, you're not desired. And little do people know, you're not desired just because of other people. You're not desired not because of the other nations. You're not desired because you don't even desire one another. We so undesirable because we don't even want to gather ourselves together. Who want to be like that? All the nations on the earth, this is something they don't even have to be told to do, to gather themselves together. When that flag is raised, they salute and gather to it. But not so with our people. We are so undesirable, we don't want to be around each other. We don't want to gather ourselves together. We don't want to walk with each other. We don't want to do and build with each other. And so consequently, in that state of reality, how can you represent Yahweh's name? When Yahweh is the one who said, gather yourselves together. Here it is. We got people, they want you to support them, but they're not going to support you. They want you to gather with them, but they're not going to gather with you. They want you to stand with them as long as you don't ruffle no feathers. But they're not going to stand with you, not even in peace. And here it is. As a result, we have become a nation not desired. Because who want to be like that? The Almighty, the scripture teach us that it is beautiful for brethren to dwell together as one in unity. Because see, when you unify, you become one. And how can one be unified and they refuse to come together? How do you represent Yahweh's name? Well, you must fulfill his desires. and what is his desires? Well, you have to have the knowledge of Elohim. You must desire that. You have to desire mercy more than sacrifice. You have to desire truth in the inward parts. You have to have a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These are things that must be done. And you must fulfill his words. Because his words is his desires. Look what else Yahweh said that must be done for you to represent his name in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Second Chronicles, the 20th chapter. The 20th verse. This is what it says. He rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Yehuda, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Yah your Elohim, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And how can you prosper if you don't believe his prophets? And how can you be established and you don't believe in Yahweh? And the very thing that established anything in the earth is Yahweh's name. This is what established the very thing, because once Yahweh put his name in it, no wonder he put his name in the Sabbath day and separated from all the other days. No wonder he put his name in one nation of people and separated them from all the other nations. No wonder he put his name in one place where he chose to place his name. And no wonder he put his name in one king, that his throne will live forever. Or be established forever. Do you realize the throne, the highest throne on earth, was only called by one name? And it was called the throne of David. Look what the Creator let us know in the book of Psalm 89. Whom Yahweh will establish all the ends of the earth. Now, how will he establish all the ends of the earth? Well, by his name. And who will represent this thing? Well, his servant, his anointed, his king. And I may add, a man after his own heart. And when Yahweh wanted you to know his desires, the desires of his heart, he took a man, shaped and formed him, brought him down through his parents, and called him David. And he said, this is a man after my own heart. And so Yahweh, since he wanted you to know his heart, he gave you a living witness of the desires of his own heart. This is how you know books like the New Testament are nothing but deceit. They will have you believe Christ is the living example, and he's the flesh of Yahweh's spirit. And here it is, Yahweh said nothing about new Christ at all, not one mumbling word. Never spoke his name out of his mouth. Never had a discussion with this man at all. But what the New Testament would do, what the devil would do, everything Yahweh have, the devil will prop up his counterfeit. So since Yahweh got his book, the devil had to have his. Since Yahweh have a firstborn son, well, yes, the devil wanted his. And since Yahweh firstborn son will establish all the ends of the earth, then the devil wanted to make his son had the keys to heaven and hell. In other words, he had to try to do something greater than Yahweh. How can you be greater than Yahweh? Watch what it says in the book of Psalms 89, the 19th verse. And thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and said, I lay help upon just one that is mighty. I've exalted just one chosen out of the people. I found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. And why? Because he represents Yahweh's name. No wonder he was the second king. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, plague them that hate him. For my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And watch what it says. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my Elohim, and the rock of my salvation. And this David never talked about no Christ. He didn't represent the name of Christ at all. Matter of fact, the New Testament tells you that Christ is the offspring of David. David is not the offspring of Christ. David's father is Jesse. 27 verse, also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever. And watch this. In his throne. Whose throne? David. The only throne that had a name in the whole entire scriptures. There's never been no throne of Christ. And his throne as the days of heaven. That's who Yahweh would establish all the ends of the earth with. In his name. And his horn will be exalted in his name. Because he represents Yahweh's name. And you can represent his name if you desire to fulfill his desires. And what is his desire? His desire is that you got to desire truth in the inward parts. You must desire, not sacrifice, nor burnt offerings. Yahweh desires is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Yahweh desires not sacrifices. Yahweh desire is mercy. In knowledge of Elohim. Yahweh's desire is for you to believe in him that you might be established, to believe in his prophets who will bring you his word that you might prosper. Who else can establish your goings? Watch what the scripture says. Still in Psalm 89. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Don't believe these false pastors that tell you Israel is so rebellious that Yahweh had to do away with them and he had to send Christ, his only begotten son, to be an example to us. Yahweh already had an example for us. We're reading about a man after his own heart. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I've sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. So his throne is not going to be just like the days of heaven, but his throne also will be like the sun that's before him. And if you don't know what that is, it says in the 37th verse, it shall be established forever as the moon. And as a faithful witness in heaven. This is how you represent Yahweh's name. You must learn what he desires. You must fulfill his desire. Because he is the only one that made time for every purpose. Most High let us know in the book of Proverbs, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to the 23rd verse, and watch what it says. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thy eyes look right on. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. In other words, the only way you can allow all your ways to be established is only one way. You have to let every matter, because every matter is all your ways, be established by two or more witnesses. So you have to establish your thoughts. You have to establish your decisions. You have to establish, what you will do with your hands. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Because how can you establish anything when the very essence of establishing is to depart from evil? And the way that you depart from evil is that you desire the knowledge of Elohim, that you desire mercy, that you desire truth in the inward parts, that you desire a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, that you desire to delight in Yahweh, that he might give you the desires of your heart. You must commit your works unto Yahweh, that he might bring your works to pass. This is what you have to do to represent Yahweh's name. There are many things you must see and show you some things that was done in Yahweh's name. Here it is. In the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter, and this is why I love the Most High, and this is what you're going to learn if you open up your eyes that you might see and incline your ears that you might hear. I found in every month, in every year, and in every day, Yahweh will work wonders in the earth. And depending on what day, what month, and what year, Yahweh will show you at that time what wonder he would do. And what is a wonder? A wonder is something, it's a miracle. People talking about JC walking on water. Nothing to Yahweh. How he fed a bunch of, turned water into wine. That ain't nothing to Yahweh. You want to turn water into wine, all you got to do is put some tea bags in the water and boil it, and you got whatever you want. But let me show you Yahweh miracles that has never, ever been repeated. Exodus 16, the very first verse. And they took their journey from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And watch this. On the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And here it is. All day we've been talking about the second. Why? Because we're talking about Yahweh's name. And in this second month, what would Yahweh do? What miracle will Yahweh show? Since it is the second month after our people came out of Egypt. Well, let me show you. In the 23rd verse. Well, we'll start at 22. And it came to pass on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread. And where did this bread come from? Well, this bread came from heaven. The people didn't have nothing to eat. And Yahweh rained bread from heaven. Who can do that? When have you ever seen food just falling out of heaven? Two omens for one man, all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which Yahweh have said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Shabbat unto Yahweh. Bake that which you will bake today. Seed that which you will seed. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till morning. As Moshe bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moshe said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto Yahweh. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, in it there shall be none. So, when did Yahweh decide to let the nation of Israel know about his holy Shabbat? And what did we say about the Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath is the only day that represents Yahweh's name. Therefore, since it represents his name, what did he do? He separated it from all the other days. So therefore, in the second month, he will give them rain bread from heaven to gather every day. But on the Sabbath day, he said he was not going to give them any, because on the sixth day, he gave the bread of 2 days. And why? Because the Sabbath represents his name. The second represent his name. We already read about the temple, but here what I'm showing you is how Yahweh will work wonders in the earth and how he will work miracles that no one else can do and no one has ever done or even heard done other than with the children of Israel. What else will Yahweh do to show his people his great wonders, his great miracles, and most important, his great name? Well, let me show you. In the book of Exodus, the 9th chapter. In the book of Exodus, the 9th chapter. The 13th verse. Look what Yahweh will do. Here it is. Yahweh played the Egyptians. He played them with blood. He played them with frogs. Then he played them with lice. Then he played them with flies. He played the cattle, played them with boils on man and beast. And watch number 7. Now, number 7, what does 7 represent? Did not Yahweh say the 7th day is the Sabbath? Did not he say 7th? Is complete. Seven is whole. Seven is blessed. Seven is sanctified and set apart. And watch the 7th plague that Yahweh will rot in the earth. A miracle, a wonder, in the 13th verse. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus is Yah Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thy heart. And that's what we've been talking about. Yahweh's heart. Where do you think Yahweh desires come from? His heart. And Yahweh said he is a husband unto us. So it makes sense why we must fulfill his desires. And our desires must be to him. And upon thy servants and upon thy people that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. And look what Yahweh will do. But now, I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence. And thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And watch what it says, 16th verse. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up for to show in thee my power and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Yeah, this is what he was do in Egypt. And let me show you how this represents his name. Even though this was the seventh plague, well, the seventh day is the only day that represents his name. But watch what Yahweh will do. As yet, exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as not have been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even unto now. Send therefore now, gather thy cattle, all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and every beast which shall be found in the field shall not be brought home. The hail shall come down upon them and shall die, and they shall die. And he that feared the word of Yah among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of Yah left his servants and his cattle in the field. And here it is. There are many amongst our people that don't regard the word of Yah. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They don't regard the word of Yah. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself, and hate not thy brother in thy heart. They don't regard the word of Yah. Here it is, Yahweh say, gather yourself together. Yea, gather together, O nation, thy desire. But they do not regard the word of Yah. And look what will happen to those who do not regard his word. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, stretch forth thy hand toward heaven. And why heaven? What do you think represents his name? Heaven. And what day was the heaven made on? The second. That there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Then Moshe stretched forth his rod toward heaven. Yahweh sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and Yahweh rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field, break every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. So what is happening? The very thing that represents Yahweh's name, and that is the heaven above. Moses raised up his staff and his hand and sought for the hail for all those that did not regard the word of Yah. Because it was at that time, it was during this plague, that Yahweh will make his name be declared throughout all the earth, not just Egypt, but throughout all the earth. And why? Because it is Yahweh's desire that you might know his name. How else can anything be established in the earth without his name? No wonder when Yahweh made the heavens on the second day, and you can read it for yourself in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, it was the only day that Yahweh did not say, all that he did was good. He saw that he did was good. And why did he say that? He made it. Well, Yahweh didn't say that because the heavens was not complete. That's what the word good means. It means to be finished, means to be complete. And it is the only day where Yahweh took 2 days to make. He started the heavens on the seventh day, and he finished it on the fourth day when he put all the various lights in the heaven. And then he saw that what he had done was good. Read it for yourself. All the other days, it was good. But the second day, because he did not complete it and finish it, he didn't speak a mumbling word about it. And the last scripture I want you to see is going back to the book of Hosea, the 6th chapter. Because what do all this mean to you? Well, we're in the second year. And if all through the scriptures you can see where Yahweh desired to make his name known, that Yahweh would do wondrous works in the second, whether it's the second generation, whether it's the second day, whether it's the second month, whether it's the second year, where is your desires today in the second year, on the second day, on April the 2nd? Well, let me show you where your desire should be. First of all, it should be to his name. Second of all, you should be desiring to represent his name. And if you desire this, and you fulfill his desires, since your wife desires supposed to be to her husband, then your desires supposed to be to Yahweh. For Yahweh said he is a husband to Israel. And look what it says in Hosea, the 6th chapter, the 1st verse. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And watch what Yahweh say. The 2nd verse. After 2 days will he revive us. And what is a revival? When one is revived, it only means that they had died. Anytime you go to the hospital in the emergency room and they see that death have overtook you, because your heart stopped beating. Where the Almighty said, this is where the issues of life is. This is where your breath lies. This is where your blood pumps. And here it is, your heart stopped. And then they will shock you and electrocute you to revive you. And here it is, Yahweh said after 2 days, and why two? Because what sense does it make for Yahweh to revive a people that won't, that don't even desire and won't even consider to represent his name? And ask yourself, what people on this earth is in desperate and emergency need of revival? As a matter of fact, we the only people on the earth, according to the scriptures, that is asleep. And we're the only people on this earth that is considered to be dead Jacobs. Why do you think the prophet Ezekiel was asked by Yahweh, can these bones live? Because they the only ones in need of reviving. And after 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now, are these 2 days literal 2 days? Are these 2 days the second year as we in? Are these 2 days the second month? What are these 2 days? Well, make no mistake about it, it's the second. Regardless of whether you think it's the second generation, the second day, the second year, the second born, ~200 years, 2,000 years. You can expect a revival. And since you're in the second, should not it be on your heart? It says, then shall we know, if we follow on to know Yahweh, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. And if you don't know what this rain is, if you don't know what this latter and former rain represent, look it up, and you will see that Yahweh indeed has come to us as he has said. And all we got to do is know and follow on to know, because Yahweh desire that you desire the knowledge of Elohim. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. Put shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.